Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads podcast today. You know, becoming a parent is probably the biggest life-changing event that a person or couple could ever encounter. To know that your love for each other actually created life. I mean, there is nothing I can think of more special. That's why we're created in the image of God. And I know I've got 2 grown daughters, 7 grandchildren, but when one of those precious children would die, it is definitely a heart-wrenching experience. To lose one while still a baby, even worse. Hans Kilberg and his wife, Christina, have 4 children. The youngest, Aviva, was suddenly taken from them when only 10 months old. She passed away in November of 2020. Hans has made the commitment to share the beautiful story of Aviva, her life, her character, her personality, through a book titled Baby Aviva or Orangutan Diva, A Jungle Quest to Discover Inner Strength. And this book is impacting children all around the world, bringing smiles to their faces. Hans says, while Aviva did not get the chance to meet many people, he hopes that she'll have a positive impact and inspire millions of kids around the world with her uplifting message and invaluable life lessons through this book. This book is an Amazon bestseller, ranked number 1 in a number of categories. Help me welcome to the program, Hans Kilberg. Hans, thank you for taking the time to join us today and come on the program and share about this book with our audience.
Thank you, Pastor Robert. It's a real pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me.
I mean, first, let me extend our condolences on the loss of little Aviva. Our prayers are with you and the family. First, let's get into what everyone's wondering about right now. What happened to Aviva when she was only 10 months old?
Yeah, so thank you for that introduction, Robert. It's one of the things that I have that I put a lot of faith in, and in terms of who I am as a person, is really a great father. I'm a very hands-on father. Really love the act of parenting, and I lead with love, have a lot of patience with my children. And it's really the greatest joy, the greatest blessing that God could really give us. And I'm sure you know that. I'm sure any parent here on the that's listening does know that. So Aviva was born January 5th, 2020, just right before COVID. And she was just a little bundle of joy, just smiling, laughing, was really blessed, to have her in our lives. On day 9 of her life, she all of a sudden started having a sleep apnea, have a little trouble breathing. Her body temperature went down to 95.5 degrees, and we rushed her to the ER. The doctors took a look at her, did a lot of emergency procedures, just to try to diagnose her, try to understand what was going on, including a spinal tap where she had a big needle go up on her spine. Unfortunately, after about a week of observance, there was really no known diagnosis. However, she did come back, and her vitals came back to normal within 24 hours. She was acting fine. She was breastfeeding, and she was the happy little baby that we knew. And so she was never really diagnosed with anything on that episode. But then we thought the problems were behind us. 3 months later, in April of 2020, she had the exact same symptoms, exact same kind of chronic, illness. Her body temperature was low. Her heart rate was really low, went down to about 70 beats per minute. And in terms of, observance, basically the same thing. There was really no known, diagnosis. And we always left the hospital with more questions than answers, with doctors scratching their heads. And it was just really very frustrating as a parent, just not to know what's going on with my child. We thought it might have been something on the subcellular level, something on the mitochondrial, which is kind of where the energy is produced within your cells. We saw a mitochondrial specialist and no answers there, but it had every single test from cardiac to neuro to even genetic DNA testing, environmental testing, even on our house to see if there's anything there. But she ended up having another episode at 6 months and then again at 7 months of her life. By this time, we were living in Oakland, California. We decided, you know, maybe it's time for a change, time for a move. We moved down to San Diego, California, where we have family. And there was a specialist down here that we thought could help her. Now, she didn't experience anything for a period of 4 months. And then in November, early November 2020, and tragedy struck once again. Aviva had very same symptoms. It usually happened right after she took a nap. She would just wake up groggy and just wake up very lethargic. And we, you know, we saw a new set of doctors down here, you know, new ER, new, you know, we ended up seeing three different, hospitals, but, yeah. She wasn't diagnosed with anything. She was released, you know, and sometimes it was a matter of hours, that she just returned back to normal, without having any kind of medication, just a saline drip in her arm. And so, this whole period, five different episodes, we didn't have any indication of what it could be. And then on November 17th, 2020, she was thrown up, actually. So this was a new symptom. We thought it might have been some flu, a virus. Someone in the house was sick at the time. And so she was back in the ER. But then... really soon later, she was recovering. She was eating a graham cracker. She was sucking water on a straw. She was with mom in the hospital because of COVID. I couldn't be in there. But I was sitting outside just waiting and went back home to put the other kids to bed. And all of a sudden at 9 o'clock, I get a phone call from my wife saying that her heart rate's gone down to 20 beats a minute. Wow. And I need to come back. And basically it started crashing. What had happened was the medical professionals had given her some kind of medication that probably had an adverse effect. It was supposed to reverse a high level of potassium that was in her blood. Potassium, if you're not familiar with it, is actually what's used in the death penalty when in the syringe, when you basically inject potassium in the blood, it stops your heart. The normal range is between 3.5 to 5.5, and her levels at that time were about 7, which is about the deadly levels. They eventually went up to 11 or 12, and you know, shortly thereafter, she had multi-system organ failure. Basically, all of her organs just started shutting down one by one. I was rushing back to the hospital. I saw my wife, you know, hysterically crying. We were escorted outside, and the hardest words I'll ever have to hear in my life. The doctor came out and said, "I'm sorry, your daughter's heart has stopped," and you know, just anguish, just pure, yeah. Pure tragic sadness, and just overcome with shock. You know, I've been very blessed in my life, had, you know, a wonderful family, great children, you know, business success as well. But, you know, I never thought something like this, it's a story you hear about, but you don't ever think, nobody ever thinks that it'll happen to you. And, and so I'm sitting there on the pavement and just asking why is this happening? Why God? And, they put her on life support and try to, a machine called ECMO to stimulate her heart. And, you know, within less than 24 hours, they kind of said, there's really nothing we can do. You know, we were agonizing in the waiting room. You know, it kind of felt like, being in the garden and being in agony. And it's, what they did was, you know, they let us, after they decided to take her off life support, they let us have a couple hours with her. We were able to sing with her. We prayed with her. We had her baptized because we hadn't had her baptized before. And we just bathed her and clothed her and held her and said that we loved her and said, you know, holding my daughter in my arms, my daughter Aviva. And I said, daddy's going to make you proud. Daddy's going to do something to really make her proud. I wasn't at that time sure what it was, but what I do realize now a year later is that I'm completely dedicated to helping others in her name and really living my life as a vessel, as a channel to really bring her light, her life, her joy and love to the world in a way that, you know, that she brought us. And and for her being a baby, being 10 months and 13 days old, she never had that opportunity to go out into the world and impact others in a positive manner. You know, I've been to lots of funerals and you have all these people telling stories about how this person lived his life or her life and how they impacted them in such and such way. You know, the devastation of above and beyond just the tragedy of losing the child was that, you know, she was so young that she just didn't have that opportunity to, to have that impact. And so, that's what I want to make my mission. Just one last thing, it's really, you know, one of the, something that a lot of people say, without realizing how it actually impacts one person. It's, a quote that says, when you lose your parents, you lose your past. When you lose your spouse, you lose your present. And when you lose your child, you lose your future. You know, that statement as a bereaved parent doesn't really sit too well. It certainly doesn't help me at all. But what it does is it actually motivates me to say, hey, my child still has a really positive future. She has a really bright outlook. She might be in heaven now, but that doesn't mean that she can't have an impact on others here on earth. Yeah, and that's where, you know, a lot of the things that I've been doing, which we'll get into, are really based from. And that's my motivation for sharing her story and sharing her positivity into the world.
Amen. Amen. Did they ever determine a cause of death?
No. So in terms of autopsy, we had a full autopsy. Actually, there's a law here in the state is that anytime a child, a minor dies without any known cause of diagnosis. And obviously she had five previous episodes, so there was something internally wrong. However, we think it was so rare that that just wasn't just wasn't caught. There wasn't a doctor out of the 40 specialists or so that we've seen. Maybe there's a doctor here in the United States that does know. But essentially she had, you know, bradycardia and ended up having high levels of potassium. But what ends up happening here in the state is that there's investigation for all of the caretakers. Anyone who's taking care of Aviva was put under investigation. And so we, you know, came back to our house a couple hours later and had a knock on the door from 7 or 8 police officers and detectives. And, you know, they ransacked the house, they interrogated us, they interviewed us, they, you know, asked the story, you know, what was going on. You know, we were being obviously put under the microscope, but it was just trauma upon trauma to think that, you know, we would be suspected of doing anything to our precious daughter. And, you know, the other kids were checked out and, you know, had a medical, you know, physical, just to see if there's any injuries or anything. But, you know, a lot of these things are standard, procedures. We understand that there's, you know, definitely different uses for them. You know, ended up doing even a lie detector test a couple months later and just, you know, they wanted to see if there's anything involved. Obviously that did not show anything. We don't, you know, we try, you know, more than our best to to provide for our daughter. But the autopsy actually came back negative. There was no toxins, no drugs, no DNA, no genetic reasons. They even took our organs and they're in the medical county examiner's office right now. And it's just, that we got a letter about 6 months later, saying that we're no longer under investigation. Which is, no sorry for the inconvenience or sorry for the loss. It was a very, almost hurtful process at the end of the day.
Very cold process. Yeah. When you lost Lil Aviva, that must have been a challenging time for your faith. Share with us what you struggled through and how you came to reconcile your faith to God and what had happened.
Yeah, I would say if there's any time in one's life that you're challenged, the death of a child certainly challenges our faith. I've always been a man of faith, growing up Catholic, and my mother, Filipino, she took us to church all the time. We did rosaries, we did acts of service, very faithful. And I myself actually had a very near death experience that actually required brain surgery. There was no doubt in my mind that the will of God intervened, and there was, I was literally minutes away from sure death. I won't get into that story, but what I would say is, I know that God intervened, and I know that God put me here for a reason, and to act in His name and to bring positive impact to others is certainly the reason. So, I just wanted to, in terms of my faith, what has challenged me has been, the knowledge that, God has given His only Son. And so one thing that I know, God has been through is really this loss of a child, losing a child. And I remember around Easter last year, thinking that, Jesus is coming to this world for salvation, to save sinners, and so that others can enter the kingdom of heaven. And so there was almost a reason, there's a reason for this sacrifice, for this, perishing on the cross. However, when I look at my daughter Aviva, I ask, why? What is the reason? Why God? Why is there a bigger reason for this? And you just don't come up with, many answers. Right. At the end of the day, you say, there has to be some greater good from that. And so, what I have been feeling and being called to do is actually be that vessel, as I said, to really carry out a lot of good works and honor my daughter and commemorate her through that. And so so that's what I'm doing. And there was actually a really good book by a Jewish rabbi called When Bad Things Happen to Good People. And it's by a rabbi named Harold Kushner. He explores, a lot about the Holocaust and these, man-made disasters that we inflict on each other, these conflicts we inflict on each other. And, he questions why does God let that happen? Why does God, why doesn't God intervene in murders or in, really, really bad events? And his conclusion is that, God gives humans that free will. We have this free will to do good or bad, we get to choose. And at the end of the day, we choose how we, live our lives. We choose, how we also face adversity. But in terms of, does God actually have a microscopic influence in every single action that happens throughout one's life? His answer is probably no, probably not. It's more about, creating this world that, he knows there's sin and there's bad things that do happen. And he doesn't necessarily have the willpower to prevent every single tragedy in this world. So
tell us why you wrote this book, Baby Aviva, Orangutan Diva.
Sure. It's really a continuation of what we've really been talking about here. It's really, you know, when my daughter died in November 18, 2020, a lot of thoughts, you know, flooded my mind, a lot of emotions. You know, I went through, you know, all of the five stages of grief: the shock, the anger, the bargaining, the acceptance, in terms of, you know, just, and that's still going on. This grief journey, you know, is something that a lot of people really don't know about. And I'd love to talk a little bit more with you, has really produced this, lots of ways that I want to artistically and creatively express my emotions and my love for my daughter. And so, when I was thinking about her legacy and what does she leave us on this earth, and you know, the listeners that we have here today that never got to meet Aviva, how could I actually get her story out into the world and allow her to create this positive impact on others? That I, as a father, you know, I want, you know, any father, any parent for that matter, only wants the best future for their child. And so I want to, you know, create some kind of platform that I can do that. And thinking creatively, you know, I've built different businesses in the past, but in terms of, you know, how to actually do this and really introduce her to especially those kids that she'll never get to meet, as well as those parents, you know, creating a children's book actually was the answer. It was something that just really popped in my head. And in terms of timing, it was actually just a week after she passed, and I wrote pretty much the majority of the book right after, wow, around that time period, where you have just this flood of emotions and you just want to get it out in a form of art. Have also been doing a lot of writing as well as you know, recording different songs, and just the express intent of the children's book, Baby Aviva, Orangutan Diva, is actually twofold. It's one to introduce, you know, my daughter to readers in a very unique way, but also to extol a lot of virtues and lessons that we as parents, you know, want our kids to learn. And so within the book itself, it's a very fun, very creative. In the illustrations, I would have to brag, my illustrator did a really amazing job, Carl Medford. But in terms of those virtues, it's really, you know, the power of teamwork, the value of teamwork, accomplishing something with a team. Another lesson is really, you know, conquering adversity and you know, struggling through adversity and overcoming challenges in a unique way. This baby, Orangutan Diva, she really doesn't really have any strengths, any strengths to speak of, other than being, you know, very vibrant, very boisterous. And also, she can sing and she can dance. She's a diva after all. And so, her family, her village is out of food. She's really hungry for some bananas. She loves to eat. She got her father's stomach. But she ends up crossing the river with a friend, Sophia the elephant. This river is filled with crocodiles, and she goes into this part of the jungle where the bananas are. Although there's one thing, though, there's a tiger that's actually protecting these bananas. And so she swings down and she's fearless, and she, you know, looks down upon the tiger and says, you know, she's fearful at first, but then she thinks to herself and says, you know, maybe this tiger can become my new friend. And so she starts singing, and lo and behold, the tiger, you know, he's growling, but then all of a sudden, he just starts dancing. He just starts swaying to the beat, feeling the music, that music's going through his ears. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, Aviva's, you know, swinging down from that tree and getting to dance with him too. And so they're dancing under the tropical heat. They take a break, and Tito the tiger offers up a piece of meat. And she's like, actually, can I have a banana? I'd rather have a banana, please. And they share a snack. They share this snack, and you know, that's the power of you know, the importance of actually asking for something that you want. She asked for those bananas, and then he said, sure, all you had to do was ask. And she ends up bringing a bunch of bananas back across the river to her village. And she's the heroine. She's riding on Sophia the elephant, which is actually her real life sister, Sophia. And then, you know, it's also about the power and impact of doing something for the community. You know, she conquered her fears, but it was all in the name of doing something for others. And at the end of the day, she, you know, the thing that matters most is that she was true to herself. She wasn't, you know, trying to beat anyone else. She wasn't trying to, you know, beat the tiger by physical force. She was actually using her own God-given innate talents to actually overcome this really fearsome and ferocious beast who, you know, she knew by not judging a book by a cover could become her new friend. But you know, that is the central message is really, you know, being true to who you are. And I think we as human beings have that ability to really look inside of us and say, you know, I'm going to conquer whatever, you know, fear or challenge I face, whether it's in work or in personal life or in your faith, by saying, you know, what do I have to give? What do I have to offer to this life? And, you know, that's, you know, what I think my daughter, you know, gave me. And she, you know, she was just a huge, you know, inspiration. And so, you know, it is a fun children's book, but it's also an important way for parents to communicate across messages to their children, who are really our future. Our children are really our future. So.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of this moving interview with Hans Kilberg. I know you're just as moved by this as I am, and one of the most tragic things a parent can go through is losing a child. But Hans and his family have turned this around to bless others and allow their child's life, little Aviva, to continue on through this book, Baby Aviva, Orangutan Diva. The adventure's just beginning, and I know you will not want to miss part two of this amazing interview with Hans Kilberg. But right now, you need to drop down into the show notes and order your copy of this great book, Baby Aviva, Orangutan Diva. Order 2, 3 or more copies. Put them in the nursery at church. Pass them out to someone who has little children. Get one or more for your own use. Amen. And be sure to come back for part 2 of this interview with Hans Kilberg. Till next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.